My co-authors, Mary Beth Bruder and Jill Bradshaw, aren't able to be here with me today, but we're from the University of Connecticut Center for Developmental Disabilities. We're in the School of Medicine Department of Pediatrics at UConn, so we're in the Farmington campus. And today I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about we were interested in service providers for children in early intervention and early childhood special education, which for people who aren't familiar with that terminology is essentially children ages birth through five that have developmental disabilities and the providers that work with them. And so there can be a variety of different providers that work with children with disabilities of that age, from physical therapists to occupational therapists to speech and language pathologists and social workers and many others. And so we were interested in asking those providers about their feelings of competence and confidence in the field. Just to give you some background, this study was conducted as part of our Center for, I'm not going to read the entire title, but it's a Center for Personnel Preparation, and it's a five-year funded project through the Department of Education, the special education programs. And this is one of many, many studies that we're doing in that center. And we essentially are interested in looking at children with disabilities that are receiving services and, you know, beyond the professional training that these professionals receive to work with children, do they, you know, are they prepared to work with children with disabilities of this age? And, you know, we feel that working with children birth to five requires some specialized knowledge, perhaps beyond, you know, what you might need to obtain, say, your physical therapy license or your master's in social work, so forth, that's specific to this population, specifically, you know, how to work with families and involve families, how to include natural learning environments when working with children. And so even though, you know, we see that this is kind of necessary, there's still no national certification or kind of standards to ensure that this population of these providers have an additional certification to work with children this age. And just some background, if you're not familiar, the data that I'm going to be showing you is divided up into birth to three providers and three to five providers. And that's because that service provision looks very different. For the birth to three group, it's mostly in-home community-based services, and it's really focused on developmental milestones. It's very family-oriented, and the tool that's used is the IFSP, which is the Individualized Family Support Plan. Then the terminology and stuff changes a little bit, and the providers look a little bit different when the kid ages out at 3 years old, from three to five, and now the services are provided mostly in the school. And the focus there is more on education and learning, and it's very more child-oriented than family-oriented in this case. And the term changes a little bit to an IEP, the Individualized Education Plan. That's the main kind of tool used with kids this age. And so the purpose of this study, as I mentioned before, was to look at competence and confidence. And unfortunately, those two words are kind of very similar sounding. And so I'll talk a little bit about those. The way we went about collecting this information is we wanted it to be a national study of providers. And so we contacted state coordinators of the birth to three service providers and of the three to five service providers and asked them to then email on to their providers, like an email invitation that had a link to our online survey. And so it was an online survey, and, you know, as many of you know who conduct online surveys, we think it approximately went out to about 27,000 different service providers, and that number was provided to us by the state coordinators. The state coordinator tells us, oh, we sent it out to about, you know, 400 providers in our state. And in the end, we had about, after we did some cleaning of the data, again, because it's an online survey, we have a few people that click and open the survey, answer three questions, and then stop, and so we eliminated anybody who didn't complete, you know, at least 50% of the survey. And so we ended up with about 1,800 providers who completed the survey, and divided up in the birth to three group, we had a little over 1,000 service providers in 44 different states, and 735 providers in the three to five group in 38 different states. The survey consisted of some background-like questions, but also the main component, which I'm going to talk about, is we had 47 questions that assessed competence and confidence in the 7 different main areas that I will go through. Looking at competence and confidence, we did do a factor analysis, and it kind of fell out the way we were hoping, and I won't go into this too much, but it had good internal consistency scores. And just the participant characteristics, essentially, almost all of our participants were, their providers were female and white, and you can also see a little bit, we have 33 over the age of 51. You can see the aging kind of this group and, you know, what we need to think about of replenishing kind of the new workforce. We did ask them in the kind of this background area if they felt they got enough training working with children with disabilities from their professional education programs. And only, you know, and 80%, which is a lot, reported not getting enough training that they thought they needed to work with children with disabilities. And only 50% of the respondents reported being required by their state to complete some additional kind of training or certification to get more specified information about children with disabilities. We also asked them about any further in-service training that they received beyond their professional education programs. And this is what they reported, that they're mostly receiving conferences and full-day workshops or presentations. And then what I have circled here are more active forms of training that we know through the adult learning literature that works really well, you know, to train adults and help them learn about new concepts that's not really being used, that's being used a lot less. And just to show you again that it was a variety of different providers. We had special educators, we had early childhood educators, speech and language providers, early childhood special ed, a variety of therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists. And so these are, now getting to the competence and confidence areas, these are the 7 different areas. I'm going to go through each one quickly. But what you can see here is that the dark blue bar is their feeling of confidence. And so all providers in almost all areas are essentially reporting that they're more confident than they are competent in all of the areas except for collaboration and teaming. So the next slides essentially all look like this one, except that the heading is family-centered practice. That's one of our 7 areas. And then I've listed here, we had 4 questions. The top 2 represent competence, and the last 2 represent confidence. And what I'm representing in these slides, the percentages, it's divided out by age groups, birth to 3 and 3 to 5, is the percent of practitioners reporting almost always or all of the time that they do this practice. And so this was a 7-point scale for all of these questions, and so this is the percent of providers reporting the 2 highest of the 7-point scale, the almost all the time and almost always, which, you know, from, I'm sure most of you know through survey research, when you ask people to rate their abilities, tend to rate really high on this scale, you know, so if you have a 7-point scale, most people are rating, you know, 6 or 7 for themselves. This is not what we were getting and what people were reporting out in the field, which is interesting. I'm just going to highlight like maybe one thing on each slide. So here the first one, I'm able to get families I work with to obtain supports and resources on their own. Only 8% of service providers reported almost always or all of the time being able to get families to obtain resources and supports on their own. And, you know, that's one of the main cornerstones of practice with children with disabilities at these young ages is getting families kind of involved in the practice. As far as assessment and evaluation, overall these numbers are a little bit higher than in other areas, but the last item, I feel sure that my assessments of children's capabilities are accurate, 62% or 64% for the 3 to 5 practitioners are reporting that they almost always or all of the time report that they feel they're accurately assessing children's capabilities. Then I spoke briefly about the IEP, IFSP, and the terminology was changed depending on the questionnaire for which service providers, but this is the main tool used with children of these ages. And we're seeing, like, for example, the first question, the children with whom I work with achieve the majority of their goals or outcomes in 6 months or less. And only 12% of the 0-3 providers report that happening almost always or all the time, and only 31% of the other group. And so makes you a little concerned about kind of what's going on here. And it's questionable whether, you know, it could be that they don't understand how to, you know, use the IEP tool or the IFSP tool, that it's difficult for providers to use, or that they're, you know, overwriting the goals, or, you know, you're not really sure how to read into that, but why the numbers are so low. As far as instructional practices, the third one down is asking about the use of prompting and prompt fading procedures and the use of for teaching children. And for those of you who aren't familiar, those are behavioral interventions. And we use a lot of behavioral interventions with children of this age, and that the fact that, you know, they're not able to get parents or other caregivers involved in this process, which is kind of the most important piece, because as we know, most of the work happens after the providers leave and what happens in the family. So providers should really be able to, you know, get parents and other caregivers to use these behavioral techniques, but only 15% of the 0-3 providers are able to do that almost always or all of the time. In natural learning environments, like the first question, we're seeing that parents, they're reporting that, you know, that they're not, that most of the time or almost always that their parents are not essentially bringing in these activities with their children in everyday learning activities. And there's been a push in the field for natural learning environments that we know, you know, getting kids to do things not only in the clinical setting but also in the supermarket, and how parents can involve the children in, you know, in the home and all of that. And so the numbers are a little bit low in that area. Collaboration and teaming, the numbers are high, which is really great, and it's, you know, something that the field has been pushing for some time, that there's so many providers working with one child many of the times, and so being able to collaborate and team with them and the families is important, and it seems that, you know, that is happening. And as far as early language and literacy, the last question there, including pre-writing and pre-writing outcomes on the IEP and IFSPs, comes natural to me. They're reporting low numbers, and I think that's reflecting really the ease of use of the IEP and their ability to use it. And then finally, this is a summary, and this is essentially looks exactly like the first chart I showed you, but it's just for providers birth to three. And again, you know, overall we're seeing that their confidence is much higher than how they're reporting how confident they are, specifically in instructional practices and in assessment and evaluation areas, and in all of the areas except for collaboration and teaming. This is a graph for the 3-5 providers, and again, natural learning environments, instructional practices, there's a large discrepancy, and family-centered practices between the confidence and competence levels. So kind of as a conclusion here, you know, we're looking for maybe a more comprehensive training model for providers that are providing services to kids with disabilities at this young age. And, you know, a push for using training methods that are known and established to work well with adult learners, more active kind of forms of, you know, more kind of modeling or supervision kind of activities rather than, you know, the traditional what they're getting, which seems to not be working as well. And, you know, it's not all negative, you know, despite the fact that they're reporting some training needs and the percentages are a little bit low in some of the areas than we'd like to see. They're still, you know, reporting positive things, you know, as I've mentioned before. And then this is our center website. We're a USED, a University Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities. For those of you who don't know about them, there's almost one in every state, if not more than one. And that's our center website, and you can link to all of our reports through there. I know it's difficult to write down, so I also have business cards with the website on it if you'd like to take that, which also has my contact information. So if you'd like to contact me about further questions, we're working on kind of some further up analyses with